That's a lynx ring. You have to be a lynx to get one.
Wow. How about that? What's a lynx?
They're a fraternal order like the Masons or the Elks.
The Masons and the Elks. All right.
So I got married this past summer, and our wedding venue used to be a businessman's club like the Elks or the Eagles. I've also been watching the show Lodge 49 on AMC. It's about the fictitious Fraternal Order of the Lynx, which got me thinking,
what's inside?
Come inside, see for yourself.
You have your own tavern?
Through a bar.
Nice.
Can I join?
So I decided to use the completely fictional Lodge 49 as a reason to check in with some real-life lodges here in Madison. I took some tours and talked with members at the Elks Lodge, the East Side Club, and the Masonic Center, which is home to several area Freemason lodges. Now, the golden era for these clubs was probably back in the 1950s, post-war. So how's membership doing now? Here's Paul Riley, president of the East Side Club.
Well, at that time, around 54, 55, those membership was about 1,000 people. And then membership started falling somewhat. And I got involved with the club about 95, 96, somewhere in there. And when I joined, membership was a little shy of 400.
And are your members getting older?
A lot of retired people. And that's a concern to us. Our membership continues to get older and older. We're probably well over half our members are 65 or older.
Well, over at the Elks Lodge, Lynn Aspinwall has hope for the next generation, even in her own family.
I have a 22-year-old daughter, and I look around and go, how am I going to get her to join in 10, 20 years? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, each of our members feel the same way. It's an opportunity to show them what we're doing in our community and then being able to say, you know, this is a great opportunity for you to be a part of it as well.
Lodge 49 looks like a lot of fun for the members.
Mainly we just get together. Tonight's bunco night.
Well, that sounds great.
But with membership down, do you have to come up with other ways to pay the bills? Paul?
32 teams come in here on Monday night and play bocce ball, and they drink beer. Mm-hmm. And then now we got one on Tuesday night because so many people wanted to join. We couldn't handle them all on Monday night. And then Wednesday night we have a Coob League. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Not only am I familiar with it, I have played in the national championship of Coob in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Okay. I was having somebody explain to me the scoring rules, and I thought, this guy ought to work for government because they seemed overly complicated. Not too many places with this view and this much lakefront. Private clubs, I think, as you'll find, are having a harder time of it. So what happens on a building this age, they're not very energy efficient, hardly any insulation at all. Being on the lake, the taxes are very high. So all this activity we do is called survival mode.
And these clubs have traditionally been male only, right, Lynn?
Absolutely. It was always a male-based organization. But I believe it was in the early 90s that they changed the charter to allow women to become members. But I think to increase our membership has always been our goal. So I think that's helped a little bit.
And let's hear from Craig Froelich, who's a member of the Scottish Rite of the Freemasons.
I really wish that there were more organizations like ours for women, where they could have the same experience without men stepping all over everything, you know. But in the end, it is a fraternity. We are a social organization for men. That's the way it's been throughout our history.
So moving on, Lodge 49 likes to give fancy titles to its members. Over at the Elks Club, Lynn is the Exalted Ruler. That sounds awesome.
It's a fancy word for being the president of an association, but that's part of the ritual of the Elks. I'm very proud to be a third-generation Exalted Ruler at the Elks Club.
The East Side Club has a pretty fun song as well that they sing at meetings. It even has three different origin stories.
I'm one of the newer members, but I've heard three versions of why you don't drink the water from the fountain. One is that really the old days, back in the 20s when this club was started, people would let their horses drink from the fountain. The other reason for more recent people, people my age, apparently in the hot days, a lot of the girls walking back from East High would put their feet in it to cool off. And the third, which is the best reason of all not to drink the water from the fountain, is one day a member saw a woman rinsing out a diaper. And the song is one of those things that the millennials say, what are you singing that for? And then we have the other half of the old timers saying, hey, that's tradition. Doesn't
it's
hurt
history,
anything.
Part of the history. Well, should we give it a go?
Sure.
We are the boys from the east side. We are the boys from the east side. We are the boys from the east side, but we never drink the water from the fountain round the corner of the street.
So there's the club song.
All right, well done. I think I recognize that tune. The Freemasons didn't sing us any songs, but Craig had this to say about camaraderie.
For a guy who's 23 years old to sit down and talk to across the table from a guy who's 85 years old and hear his stories, that's a very special thing. And you get that intergenerational face-to-face meeting that is just, that's one of the most valuable things that we have to offer. And
so now it's time to peel back the curtain and dish on the secrets and rituals that these clubs hold dear. Right, Craig?
We're not secret. People know about us. The secrets of Masonry, they're available anywhere. They were published in a book in the 1820s. They're all over the internet. And the big secrets, the real secrets of Masonry, are the confidence and trust between the brothers. And it could be he's having health problems, he's having financial problems, he's having family problems. He just wants somebody to confide in. I will keep that secret.
That sounds nice, but not very exciting. Come on, Paul, give me an East Side Club zinger.
We have bartenders mix up some kind of weird concoction that we call the water from the fountain around the corner of the street. I guess it's pretty bad. So after they're officially accepted, we have a pitcher of this stuff and pour the mead a little bit on the glass and indoctrinate them.
Would you consider that a hazing ritual?
Well, it's very minor, but yeah. And it depends on the bartender.
All right, now we're getting somewhere. Okay, Lynn, how about you? What about the Elks?
Something that's very near and dear to our hearts is our 11 o'clock toast, which is a toast to our absent members, to our members who have deceased. A lot of us don't make it till 11 o'clock much these days, so we can, you know, once in a while we'll pass it off at 9 o'clock. Just taking a moment to reflect on what it means to be an Elk and to those that have gone before us.
So I'm left feeling like the fictional Lodge 49 got a lot of stuff right here, even though the show does get pretty weird and over the top at times. These places are a social outlet. They're about having fun, networking, and giving back to your community. The Elks work with kids and veterans charities, the East Side Club provides college scholarships, and the Freemasons fund the Children's Dyslexia Center. And their doors are always open. Stop in and say hi.
So if you come back, we'll make you squire, and then you can attend meetings and run a tab at the bar.
Oh, yeah.